is Jesus for you today? This is a deep question of faith and one which evolves over time. On Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday of Epiphany, we hear Matthew's account of Jesus' transfiguration to the three disciples as they journey to the mountaintop and are assured of his identity. Reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love and a wellspring of our joys. If I told you that I have seen him, would you lock me up and want to put me away? If I told you that I had seen him, would you want to hear stories of my faith, of my life, and my beliefs? If I told you that I had seen him, might you tell me some stories of your faith and your life? I've seen him. I have seen him in places that we might name as death. I have seen him when we gather around bedside, preparing for a loved one to take their last breath. And I have seen him as words have been exchanged of love, words of forgiveness, words maybe even of anger or regrets. I have seen him as hands have been held, as prayers have been offered, as words have been shared. I have seen him. For God brings light all things dark. I've seen him in the new beginnings of life. I have seen him as we view ultrasound screens and see little fetuses developing new life, yearning to grow and be birthed into the world. I've seen him in the face of my son and my daughter as I got the honor of cutting their umbilical cords and unleashing them into this world. I've seen him when I stood at the baptismal font with proud parents placing baptismal water on a child's forehead. I've seen him. Have you seen him? For God brings light to all things the dark. I have seen him in times of crisis, I've seen him in times of crisis when we might even watch the evening news. The evening news that seems to reflect nothing but chaos and problems in the future, impossible solutions to be resolved. I've seen him when groups begin to take sides, when blockades are put up, when fear of the other and disease and infection fears are alive. I've seen him when the needs of so many are there to be considered. I have seen him in the sharing of grace and understanding. I have seen him in the sharing of forgiveness and the acquisition of hope-filled possibility. Have you seen him? For God brings light to all things hidden in the dark. It was about 400 years ago almost that John Calvin wrote this wonderful understanding. He said, "The genius of God is the coming of God and the human touch of Jesus." The genius of God is the coming, the arrival of God and that human touch of Jesus. Because indeed the heavens and the earth cannot contain God, yet somehow God is made known in that human healing touch of Jesus. His presence, his love, his touch, somehow he is here. We see him here. Indeed, isn't that the way that we meet him in Matthew's gospel? Emmanuel, God with us. Calvin put it this way: all thinking of God apart from Christ is a bottomless abyss, utterly swallowing up our senses. Yet in Christ, God makes himself little in order to lower himself to our capacity. And Christ alone calms our consciousness that they may dare intimately approach God. Have you seen him? As we move to this morning's text for Transfiguration, I think that this is where the disciples actually see him. They see Jesus for all he truly is as this bright light reveals him for all. Certainly they had seen him in the past. They had seen Jesus as the healer. They had seen Jesus as the teacher. They had seen Jesus as the lover of their souls, yet they had not truly seen him. In Transfiguration, they are given eyes of faith. And this text is a time where God brings light to all things that might have been hidden in the dark, where these things that are hidden for you and I all of a sudden are made known. Now we are given the eyes of faith as well. This mountaintop moment, this time we go to the top of the mountain and we can see for miles, is a chance where we can see with our eyes of faith. Scholars say that really a better way for us to understand the Transfiguration story is to go back to the original Greek of what Transfiguration originally says. And you all know this word, metamorphosis. It's a word they translate into our English Transfiguration. The metamorphosis, the change. And they were all changed. Change as a result of the light. On the mountaintop, they saw him. He was fully revealed. And their eyes were changed as well. They saw him and they saw their call to live as followers of his way. What they saw on the top of the mountain, on the one side was Moses, giver of the law. And on the other side was Elijah. Elijah in line with that great prophetical tradition. They saw at that moment revealed in the full light the culmination of all in the past revealed in Jesus. Peace, the hope of years to come revealed for them. And Jesus' divinity is affirmed just like it was at his baptism. The light shines and the words break through the heavens. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. metamorphosis is about Jesus' revelation to them as much as their eyes are opened forever. Those eyes would now begin to see God's light into the chaos that would come, because from here we begin to move into the story that leads us to Jerusalem. Jesus' passion, Jesus' death. They would begin also to see God's light in that time to come. Amidst the death, amidst the chaos, amidst the fear, amidst the resurrection, they would truly see who he is. For God brings light into all things hidden in the darkness. What is revealed here really for them and for us is that great paradox of our faith. On the one hand, there is nothing those disciples can ever do to stop and shield themselves from the suffering to come. But on the other hand, there is no way to shield themselves from the coming of God's pure light of hope. Can you see him? Can you see him with eyes of faith that you have been given as well? I'm always curious as a pastor about what transforms, what kind of metamorphosis happens in these kind of buildings that transforms it into being our church, our spiritual home. When you think about it, these bricks and beams and windows and all the things that make up this church are the same materials that could have been used to make a restaurant or a community center or a family home. Yet somehow these materials go through a metamorphosis, and this otherworldly building is created. An otherworldly building where spiritual family unites, where we gather and we practice following the way of Jesus, where we practice being kin, family, Jesus' presence here in our midst. Something about this place. There's something about this place that makes it a church. There's something about this place that led those pioneers, and some of you are still here, 25 years ago, to search and search and search for a location, and then to design this amazing facility, and to pour concrete and place beams and windows and make this building a church for us to come. And there was something before where people had eyes to see an ending where the previous location of North Surrey and Fleetwood United Churches had faithfully served their ministries in those areas, and things were winding up to a close there, and the unity was beginning here. How do those eyes of faith allow us to see him in all of those changes? The rest, of course, is all history. He has been here amidst our joys and celebrations, and he has been here amidst our pains and struggles. He has been here. Have you seen him? What's exciting for us? What's exciting for us is that the future has yet to be written. The future, as we look ahead, is certainly an unknown. A little later in the service, I'm going to hand over our conversation to Reverend Doug Goodwin. And Doug is going to come and speak to us about some of the amazing possibilities that other churches have done throughout British Columbia and are in the process of doing as stewards of their building and using that building in new and creative ways for the larger community they are called to serve. Last Sunday, we had a long conversation about stewardship, sharing that conversation about this tremendous responsibility we are given for those of us who see him and serve him in this community. We also realized that that's one of the most exciting parts of our faith. The living, the loving, the serving, we see him here in our lives and in our midst. Let us hear that story one more time. Let's just journey one more time to the top of the mountain. Hear that story anew once more. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. You wish, I'll make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground, overcome with fear. Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up. Do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Amen.